learn about money from their parents. They know whether you tend to save up for fun purchases or pull out the credit card when temptation strikes. Since they're learning from you, talk to your kids about using their money wisely. Start by admitting your own mistakes, talking about your family budget, and discussing the importance of sharing some of your money with causes that are important to you. There are general ways to help them become wise stewards of their own money. To learn more, go to stcumoney.org.
Welcome to Education 101 with your host, Eric Wolfram. Education 101 is about the amazing education community we have in the greater Spokane area. We highlight the outstanding programs, teachers, supporters, and opportunities of the education community in the Spokane region. Education 101 is brought to you in part by STCU. Here's Eric.
Welcome to Education 101. I'm Eric Wolfram, and I am honored to be the host of this first show of Education 101. So this is going to be great. Again, the show is really about highlighting a lot of the great activities that we have going on in this region around education. We have a lot of things that are happening, and I think we need to get it out there on the airwaves so people can hear it. So my first guest, very first guest, I'm so excited to have her here. I've got with me Tammy Schrader. Tammy Schrader is with New ESD 101. That would be Northeast Washington Educational Service District. And she is the coordinator for computer science and for secondary education. Tammy, welcome.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Excellent. Excellent. So, Tammy, today we're going to talk about computer science because I think that's with all the STEM that's going on out there, science, technology, engineering, and math, I think technology is going to be a big piece that plays a role in it, and not just that technology piece, but computer science specifically. And so I'm hoping that we can have a conversation about some of the great things that I know you are involved with throughout the region. But to start with, will you give us a little bit of a background about who you are, where you came from, and why the interest in computer science?
So as you said, I'm Tammy Schrader, and I actually started my life in a career at NASA for a contractor, and we worked on the shuttle program and the Peacekeeper missile and those kind of things. So I spent about 8 years of my young life doing that, and when I got older, I went back to school and picked up my education credentials and as a science teacher, which I was thrilled about, science and math. So I taught at Cheney Middle School for 15 years, loved it, loved every minute, loved kids. And actually, my students drove the computer science need in my classes. So what happened is I would get kids in my class, and I was trying to get them to engage with science and math. And actually, one day, a young man walked into my classroom, and he had coded an entire game around working with plant cells, I believe it was. It was a few years ago. Anyway, and when I saw his work, I realized that, you know what, we weren't meeting the needs of our kids in a manner that they engage with. So I started out wanting to teach computer science and gaming through science in order to reach those kids that were marginalized or weren't interacting with education in a way that I'd been taught.
Great. And so really the idea is that we're trying to reach those students in maybe an innovative, different way, but still focusing on the same content that we would in our traditional class.
Absolutely. So I integrated computer science into my science class.
Excellent.
And back in that day, I think that was about 8 years ago, there was not all the resources out there. So I actually contacted some computer science people and asked them, what's the best way to teach kids computer science? And they pointed me in the direction of Scratch, which was invented by MIT. And of course, I had to spend hours and hours learning how to do Scratch, which was interesting. So when I learned how to do Scratch, I came up with some curriculum around it and went in and thought, okay, I'll just teach this every Friday afternoon or whenever I was teaching, because we had short periods Friday. And I taught two sections, and that was it. The kids were off, they're running, they're gone. And within a month, kids came to me and they said, well, this is great, but we really want to learn code, like to code. Well, of course, I'm not a computer scientist, so I contacted Eastern Wash University, and they put me in touch with some students that would come and actually teach students how to write Python code. And then we were off and running from there.
So when you're talking about Scratch and you're talking about Python, you're truly talking about coding, programming, mm-hmm. and those pieces that go along with computer science. And you and I have had this conversation before, but I think that's one facet of the world of computer science. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that.
I think there are a lot of others, wouldn't you say robotics, or what are some of those other facets, if you will, when we talk computer science?
So I'm not sure exactly I'm going to answer your question, but to the best of my ability. So computer science actually touches almost everything there is, right? So we have robotics, and that's great. So I started doing Mindstorm and Lego electives and that kind of thing. But the truth is, I started noticing that computer science actually touches almost every facet of our life. So I started realizing that, so I toured Boeing, for example, and they were talking about, they have these machines that work to like a 0.05 millimeter. And I said to them, how are you getting computer people to do this work? And they said, we have to train computer programmers to do it, right? Because they have machines that touch that. And then I would start looking around my classroom and think, you know what? Everything that we look at, the tables in our classroom are run through some kind of machine that had to be programmed, right? And then I went down, I was painting my kitchen, and I went down to buy paint, and they're not mixing paint. They're pushing buttons on a machine that's been programmed to give the exact right amount of each color to come out with the color that I eventually put in my kitchen. So the point is, computer science just touches everything, and it's not just on our phones and it's not just on our computers, but it really does touch almost every facet of our lives. And so we have kids that are interested in some, like people say, you know, STEM is not about the arts. STEM is exactly about the arts. It was always designed to be about the arts. We have kids doing graphic design around art and their beautiful work. So that, I mean, I think, am
absolutely.
I answering?
Well,
okay.
Absolutely. And I think I want to add on to that, in the sense that, you know, one of the things that we talk a lot about in the education world is educating our students for a future that we don't even know about, you know. And so we start to think about just what it is today and looking back 10, 15, 20 years and the computers that we saw at that time versus what we're seeing today, where we all have a little computer in our pockets. And like you said, it doesn't really matter what field of work you're in. Computers play a huge role in that, and computer programming needs to be a part of that. And so I agree. I think that when we think about STEM, when we think about computer science, that's a piece that truly needs to be integrated into the curriculum and into the content as we go through, even as an instructional strategy of how do we get kids exposed, maybe not just solely to finger quotes computer science, but as using it as a tool to be able to do the work that they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So can I tell my story?
Yes, I would
so
love it.
I work with a high school teacher out at Cheney, and he had his house built. And the HVAC system needed to be installed. And so the HVAC person came out to his house, and he said, what do you wish you had done in school that you didn't, you know, like to even go into HVAC and what you're doing now? And the gentleman replied, I wish I had learned some computer science, because I spent half my time installing and the other half working on a system where I have to build it on a computer. Right. And I needed to learn that information. So I think it's just valuable no matter where you end up going, especially in the 21st century.
Absolutely. You know, on an interesting side, thinking about houses and computer science, I don't know if you saw the story about the house that was 3D printed.
Yeah, I did see it.
Just lately. Isn't that amazing? I mean, so start to think about the possibilities that are out there when we throw those things in. And here's an 1,100 square foot house that's been created on a 3D printer, a house.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. And so start to think about what the future is for construction along the way.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So let's briefly talk about I know there are some other projects that we have going on. I want to save one of our big projects for the next conversation, but I know at the ESD there's a couple grants that we have. There's we have one that deals with computer science as a whole and building awareness throughout the region. Then we have one that kind of deals with trying to think about computer science as a as a tool to work with early warning systems and taking a look at maybe some of those, I'll say, at-risk students and how getting that interest level goes into play. And so I want to briefly, let's talk about the big one that builds awareness throughout the region. Can you tell us just a little bit about that program?
So the big computer science grant that we got was designed to touch all grade levels. So we wanted to start implementing at K-5, and so we have workshops around that. We've also been building some programs at middle school, mostly because teachers that are doing, like we're working with Code.org, but we're also working with people like Sphero and Ozobot and Digital Dream Labs and Girls Make Games in order to build not just awareness, but we've got teachers in our region that are saying, you know what, we want the next thing. We need to know how to move forward and beyond because our kids are moving at lightning speed, right? So that has been great to design programs and start working with schools around these toys that are built to program, and yet they will do things that you tell them to do, because the instant feedback on that gives kids instant feedback, which means that they're able to design and move forward quite quickly. So we also are working with high school programs, computer science, AP, and doing that kind of work with the high schools in our region. And some of my favorite work is actually coming from, you know, we work with the Next Gen Zone and some of those kids that are on the fringe and at risk. We've also been doing some of that work. And so one of my favorite experiences is going down there and working with some of those kids. And those kids were so engaged and so on topic. And it's just been great to watch them find something that they could be passionate about, because that could open the door for them, right? Things they didn't know. And they're not taking the typical traditional route through schools, right? And we're also starting to build programs with some of our incarcerated youth, going down there, designing a program for them, and then working with industry to see what kind of certificates are out there so that those students are actually hireable and it means something for them to acquire that certificate.
That sounds like a great program, and I want to come back to that right after we take a quick break. So we'll take a break and we'll come right back to this building awareness around computer science.
Okay, thanks, Eric.
In touch, online all the time. SpokaneTalksOnline.com.
If you're like many shoppers, you love to find a deal online. Or you shop online because it's so convenient. And you probably know thieves love to go online too, to try to steal shoppers' credit card information. When you're shopping online, you can start protecting your credit card information by investigating the website you're shopping on. Make sure the online retailer lists a real phone number and a physical address. Read the site's privacy policy and search for reviews and ratings of the retailer. You can read more about safe shopping online at STCU's financial education blog. Go to stcumoney.org.
The stories and photos on the pages of Nostalgia Magazine show glimpses of life in the Inland Northwest from years gone by. From home life, school days, and the workplace, you can relive a style of life that we all loved and cherished. Call today to subscribe, 443-3678, or visit us online at nostalgiamagazine.net. Nostalgia Magazine. Ageless stories, ageless photos.
Last year alone, Avista customers saved over 53 million kilowatt hours of energy by taking advantage of rebates from Avista. Like 15 cents a square foot for new attic insulation, $35 for installing a smart thermostat, or $2,300 for switching from electric to natural gas heat. And all that savings reduced carbon emissions by more than 18,000 tons. Way to save, everyone. Way to save. Find your way to save at avistautilities.com.
And welcome back to Education 101. Here with Tammy Schrader from New ESD 101, and we're talking about computer science in education. So when we left and went off to the break, we were talking about one of the big programs that the ESD has going on within the region of building awareness. And there is a lot of pieces that go along with it. It's a big grant from OSPI, the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction here in our state. And everything from incarcerated youth to the next generation zone, whether that's a partnership with the Workforce Development Council, mm-hmm. to in the K-12 system of getting computer science out there, whether it's with the partnership of Code.org or getting things like the Spheros, little robots that we can program and do those kinds of things out there. How has that gone, and how has that been received along the way? And let's start with the K-12 side of the Code.org and the Spheros, those pieces that go along with that.
You know, I think that in our region it was an idea whose time had come, because I know that when I do trainings, it's been really great to bypass the conversation about why we're doing what we're doing. So I got a chance to meet with Meade School District, and one of the best comments came out of their library system. And the lady there said to me, you know, it's so nice not to be trying to convince people to do this, but rather just being able to work together, troubleshoot problems, and produce computer science programs and makerspaces, and in a time when we all know that 8 years ago when I started this, there were no resources. There were, you know, I went and had to convince parents that this was a good thing, and maybe not so much convince them, but really kind of explain it. And now I think we've hit a critical mass in our region where we're not so much explaining now as we are, people are ready to move forward and we're ready to go. And of course, that's not true across the board. It's like having 30 kids in your class. Not everybody is there yet, but I think the majority of the people know that, yeah, this is valuable, and now we're going to see it increase.
And I know that that's a great thing, to be able to bypass that, because it's so hard if you spend your time selling versus teaching what needs to be out there and what good practices are and how we can use these tools, because I really do believe that these are tools for us to teach the same content that we always have been teaching, but just in a new innovative way that builds that interest level. I know that we've done some work. Can we describe what Spheros are and how they play into? I think the BB-8 example, everybody knows, or most people know, should know about Star Wars and BB-8. But that BB-8 little guy that is controllable, that's a Sphero. And so, mm-hmm. can you elaborate on that a little bit?
So Sphero is a company out of Colorado Springs, and they built they're just clear balls, right? And they fit in the palm of your hand. And basically, when you buy them, you download the app on a phone or an iPad or whatever. And when you open that app, you can either drive it, right, with your finger, like you just move your finger along the iPad or your phone, and you can drive it, right? But the power comes in when you open up some programming. You can actually use blocky programming, which is like Scratch. You drop and drag and tell it to do whatever you want it to do. You can tell it to change colors, move forward, spin uncontrollably, go back, go forward. I mean, really, you can make this thing do great stuff. You can tell it to go to a certain part on the X coordinate or the Y coordinate, and basically you can drop and drag, and then when you run your program, that Sphero will do exactly what you say it will do. Usually you put it on a floor or a table to make that happen, right? But my favorite part about Sphero is they're constantly upgrading and constantly changing. So when I first got involved with Sphero, which was, 2 years ago, it was pretty much drop and drag and move and change the light, and that was great. But if you look at a Sphero now and look at all the things you can do with it, it has math functions on there. You can actually do functions, which are algebraic. You can program it to do many, many things and integrate with math. Go ahead.
Well, and that was one of the things that I was going to talk about, was the idea, and you talked about this, you know, programming and using the coordinate plane and using angles and all the algebraic pieces that go along with it. Again, I think it's a great example of how computer science and programming is able to integrate into the world that we already have in our classrooms. It's just taking it and having the kids interact with it in a different way. And I think that's the power of it. The other piece about Spheros and the Ozobots, which are little, mm-hmm. little robots, smaller, as well, mm-hmm. that you can program, is I like the idea that it's there's a hook that goes with it. Playing on there and being able to play and have the opportunity to drive these guys, the Spheros or the Ozobots, but then go into the real learning piece, and that's the programming. It's like the gaming that goes along with it. You're gaming, but then what's the code behind it? Which brings me down to one of the other pieces that I really want to talk about is the hackathon. You guys just put on the very first hackathon here in the Spokane area, and you did a great job naming it. It's the Spokathon. Spokathon.
Yes, we were encouraged to change it from hackathon to kind of brand it for Spokane. I believe you drove that bus, Eric.
I may have. And look at it now. But I know it was very successful. I got the opportunity to go down and see the kids working. Let's talk about that, because I think that was a fabulous program. And I know that we're going to gear up to do it again next year because it was so successful. So tell us, number one, what is a hackathon?
Okay. So the first thing I'd like to tell you about a hackathon is I'd like to address the fact that it's called a hackathon, because many people hear the word hackathon and they think we're trying to teach kids to hack into something. And even though we wanted to call it something else, the truth is these hackathons happen all over the country. NOAA out of D.C., they run hackathons out of climate change, or they have hackathons based on all kinds of different things and themes. So to change the word hackathon wasn't really an option, just because that's what it is. We are calling it what it is, even though a lot of people in our region haven't really heard of that. So a hackathon is where you bring a bunch of people together, in this case, children, high school children, students, and they come and they pitch an idea, something that they really want to see in the form of a game or an interaction. So they come and they pitch their ideas, and after they pitched the idea, people just joined groups. So we had 37 kids there. Some kids joined groups of kids they knew. What I loved is we had groups of kids that had never even met each other before, and they get together behind an idea and say, you know what, like one of our games was around different planets, their different gravitational pull, how to move from one planet to the other. So there's a bunch of science worked into there. So these kids just built this game. They built the sprites from scratch, and a sprite is the figure that moves on the screen.
I learned that when I was down there. That's something I didn't know.
That's what a sprite is. And they actually did all the graphics themselves. So we had one group do a graphic of a candy mountain that was just beautiful. And there were cupcakes everywhere and sparkly, sprinkles, I think they were. So kids built it based on their interest. And they coded from the minute they got there until I think we called it at noon. And they had to present their idea. And then the kids voted on which project they thought was...
And so this was an all-night, I'll call it a 24-hour deal, although I think it was closer to 19 or 20 hours. But and there were kids with expertise levels from expert to I'd never coded before. And,
exactly.
And those were the kids that really amazed me, to be able to watch them use that programming Scratch and come up and make a game. I mean, that just blew my mind, to be able to see them from – nothing to here's a game that, although simple, but it was a wonderful thing to see him see that get that interest.
Yeah. So one of the things I'd like to add is during that overnight stay, 19 hours, it felt like 24. One of the things that happened is that we had students from the computer science programs at Whitworth, and we had experts from Gonzaga University and Whitworth come, and they were with these kids all night long. And if kids were doing Scratch and they needed help figuring out how to do something, they would put it on a board, and then there would be students right there to help them, actual computer science students. And we had a lot of Whitworth students there that really did a great job working through the night with these kids so that they could actually debug programs and learn. It was great.
Yeah, and I know that Whitworth was a huge help in that, and having those kids, a huge thanks to them. And I think we also need to say a huge thanks to the Hagen Foundation, which is who truly funded this program.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be able to put this on. And I know that it's pretty exciting to know that we're shooting for next year. So when are the dates that that's going to happen next year? Do you remember?
So it's last weekend in February.
That's what we're shooting for.
And I think another exciting piece is I know we designed this for high schoolers because it was an overnight thing, but we've already gotten 5 or 6 emails from people saying, hey, I hope you're including middle schools next year because we want to start at middle school. So we're going to design something to make that work as well.
And that's going to be great because I know I have a middle schooler at home and he would love it. He would love it. And I know there's a few of his friends that would love to get into that as well and be able to just, again, be in that environment of learning and collaboration and just being able to have a wide open range of building a game. Here's what you got. Go for it. And I think that's a great way to do education. Just let's see what they can do because I think they always, always, always amaze us. So, Tammy, thank you so much for being here today. I'm sure we could sit here and chat about computer science, hackathons, and everything else going on for probably another half an hour or another hour or more, but our time is getting down there. So I want to thank you again for coming and sitting and having the opportunity to chat with you.
It was a great time. Thanks.
I like it. So until next time, this is Eric Wolfram for Education 101. Hope to see you next time. Thanks.
Education 101 is produced in Spokane, Washington by SpokaneTalksOnline.com, which is solely responsible for its content. Education 101 is brought to you by our friends at STCU. Ask Eric a question, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime at SpokaneTalksOnline.com.
Kids learn about money from their parents. They know whether you tend to save up for fun purchases or pull out the credit card when temptation strikes. Since they're learning from you, talk to your kids about using their money wisely. Start by admitting your own mistakes, talking about your family budget, and discussing the importance of sharing some of your money with causes that are important to you. There are general ways to help them become wise stewards of their own money. To learn more, go to stcumoney.org. What? You haven't been to the library lately? Stop in today and see that the library is more than books. Spokane County Library District facilities feature on-site technology, including Wi-Fi, computers, and printers, as well as free use of meeting rooms. The Library District offers events and programs for all ages, from story times to career development and employer classes to social security workshops. Our staff is well-trained and happy to help. Find out more about your library at scld.org.